A Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book. A romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
You're very welcome to A Taste of Ireland, coming to you this evening from Campania, a Michelin star restaurant located in the heart of medieval Kilkenny. My guest this evening worked initially in London and then in Dublin. He returned to his home city of Kilkenny to open Campania in 2008. And his restaurant has gained many accolades on a national and international level. Of course, most notably, a Michelin star in September 2013. Gareth Byrne, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Ed.
It's lovely to be back here in Campania because I had a wonderful evening here. If I could just ask you, Gareth, we'll bring you back. I mean, where it all started for you, I suppose, where did you get your passion for food?
I kind of fell into it. I worked in bars and pubs in Kilkenny when I was a teenager, and then I decided that hotel management would be my chosen career. But it wasn't really for me, and I had to spend the last 6 months in the kitchen as part of the course. So I spent the 6 months, and I never left it. I stayed at it. I gave up the management and went to London to, you know, further my career, as they say.
I mean, I think you know Richard Corrigan, well known to us all, and I mean, in terms of your London... Was that essential? I mean, I think a lot of people would think it's essential, I mean, to be a really good chef, that you'd travel and go to the best places where
you have
the hubs.
I always say to the lads here, you know, especially if they're young and, you know, they haven't been abroad, I'd always say to them, listen, do a year here and then go abroad. Go to Paris, London, wherever, you know, just to broaden the mind, not just food-wise, just, you know, go travel and see and then come back if you want to, you know.
And in London, I mean, did you spend a lot of time there?
Yeah, I was there for 8 years. Great time, loved it. Still tempted every now and then to go back, but we've probably gone past the stage now of being able to enjoy it like we used to. But yeah, we had a great time there. You know, it's just a great city and great buzz.
And you worked in a lot of different restaurants over there?
Yeah, did about five or six places. Where was I? Think was in Quaglino's first. Oh, sorry, I was in an Irish pub when I went over first for about 3 months, but... that wasn't for me. So I met a guy who was opening a restaurant in St. James. It turned out to be Terence Conran's Quaglino's. And I didn't know anything about Terence Conran at the time or whatever. So I said, yeah, I'll go down here. So went down and, you know, had a year there. Brilliant year. And then went to work for Stephen Bull then for a couple of years. Richard Corrigan was actually there at the same time. He was opening Fulham Road. Stephen had three restaurants at the time. So left there where I was, went to one of Stephen's other restaurants in Blandford Street. And then, geez, we're going back a bit now.
Did you get a really good grounding?
Absolutely. Of course, starting over, I didn't know a lot. You know, I knew very little, you know.
Yeah.
Your limitations are exposed, I suppose, when you go to somewhere that's really good after coming from somewhere that's, like, reasonable, middle of the road. So... that took a while to get used to, but, you know, you get into it and, you know.
And did you decide then, after 8 years, did you say, like, I've had enough and I kind of was home calling to you? Or
We were kind of looking for something, you know, myself and Bridge were seeing what we do. We go back to Dublin, we stay in London, and London at the time was, we were getting older, and we were still young, but, you know, the enjoyment of London wasn't as good as it had been, like when you're in your early 20s and you're out every night and whatever. So we said we'd give Dublin a shot for a year. So we came back to Dublin in... 98.
Very good. Yeah. And of course, you went to one of our great restaurants and you worked there. You became head chef, in fact, in chapter one. Lewis.
Yeah, was there at Mr. Lewis for about 2 years, then left and went to the Clarence Hotel for a couple of months. And then, where did I go? Went to Bruno's on Kildare Street then for about a year or so. And then Ross knocked at my door then and said, would you come back to give me a hand in chapter one? So I says yeah, and went back in 2002, I think, and left then in 2008. So it's, you know, saw a lot of change in chapter one from when I went there first in 98. Then they got the Michelin star and stayed another couple of years, and then decided it was time to branch out, as they say, and, you know.
And I mean, at what stage then did you decide, okay, kind of like, I'm ready? I suppose you've got the experience, you've learned enough, and you decide, okay, I want to do this now for myself.
Yeah, I always wanted to do it. Ever since I got into the business, I always wanted to have my own place. But it was just a matter of trying to find, you know, the right premises, getting the finance together, you know, apart from the obvious stuff like having experience and working in London and Chapter One, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it was the right time. We were the right age to do it. We weren't too young, weren't too old. And, you know, we spent a long time looking for a place. We looked in Cork, Dublin, Galway. We looked everywhere. And finally, we found here. So we looked at it. Well, we weren't mad about it the first time. And then we came down and had a look again. And we made a decision and that was it.
I was going to say to you, I mean, why Kilkenny? You obviously have connections to Kilkenny.
Well, I'm from Kilkenny, yeah. I'm only up the road. My parents just live around the corner. So we didn't mind where we live. We live anywhere, you know. We're not tied to any particular county or country. It's just that we couldn't find anywhere suitable, you know. We knew what we wanted, but it was very hard to find the right property. So when we found here, we just thought, yeah, that's it. And Kilkenny's a great place. I mean, I know I'm from here, like, I'm obviously going to say that, but it's a good place to live, you know. It's a good town. There's only, you know, you're only an hour and a half from Dublin. So, like,
yeah,
the decision was pretty easy in the end, you know, when we did ultimately decide that this was the one for us.
Yeah, I mean, when I was down here, I was just saying earlier, when I was down here last August, and I met Ciarán Conroy, he's now the chairman of Kilkenny Tourism, and I couldn't believe, I mean, I was in Woodstock Gardens, I did the Medieval Mile, the new museums, and I have to say, I mean, it's really, you're talking real history here, even going back to the Middle Ages, but really fabulous. And I mean, I suppose it was a stroke of luck, I suppose, that you've decided that you picked Kilkenny.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Because, like, we, as I said, like, we didn't have our hearts or minds set on any place in particular. So, like, when we found here, it was just, yeah, we can do what we want, what we've always wanted to do. So this was it, like, you know, so we're lucky. And Kilkenny's a great spot to live. Like, it's, you know, it's got everything. It's got great pubs. It's very organised, clean, it's tidy. It's just a nice place to, you know, to live. So that's like a bonus almost, you know.
Of course. Yeah. And how exciting was it for you then when you found your place, you have Campania now, and you're ready to open the doors. Was it nerve-wracking?
Terrifying. It doesn't matter how much experience you have, but that first night is terrifying. Yeah, we spent about, almost just over a year in the planning of it. And, like, Breeder's still in Dublin, I was still in Dublin. We were trying to come down here every, you know, Monday and Tuesday when we were off to get things organised and architects and all that kind of crack, you know. But then I was able to devote, like, the last 3 or 4 months before we opened, just that I was here full-time, moved back in with the parents and, you know, things like that, weird things that you didn't think you were going to be doing again. But, no, it was grand, like, you know, but it was exciting, yeah. I'd do it again. Yeah, probably, but in a slightly different way. But it was good, like, you know, overall. No bad experience of it, you know, no regrets, like, you know.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, one thing when I was down as well, the last time I was in Highbank Orchard. Organic cider vinegar, balsamic vinegar. Yeah. And I travelled, I was in Woodstock. But what I discovered around here was you have a wealth of produce, fresh produce, on your doorstep as well here. Yeah.
It took us a while to find, because I hadn't lived here in so long, it took, you know, probably the best part of a year to find, you know, certain things that we still use to this day, like whether it's our butcher or fishmongers or whatever, you know. I'll never forget getting the first fish order in here, like, you know, we used a guy, I can't remember where he's from now, but I didn't know anybody. So it was like, you know, it took us a while, like, to get that, you know, supply going. And, you know, then, like, pretty much all our meat comes from Kilkenny now. You know, so like it, but it took a while to get the suppliers, to get them to know what I wanted and what they could do for me and things like that. So, you know, all our meat, we've organic veg, you know, things that we never had here before. So it's all good, like, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean that comes through obviously and in your menu as well. Were you always was French classic cuisine, I mean, in terms of the great cuisines of the world, was this one that you were particularly drawn to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, French through and through.
I know nothing else
food-wise. Yeah, I've always been fascinated by the French stuff. It's got such a, I don't know, such tradition, such depth to it. I know it's not the flavour of the month every year, but, you know, it's classic for a reason. It's like Italian or, you know, Thai or Chinese or Indian. It's just one of those great cuisines that, you know, it fascinates me. I couldn't do a stir fry to save my life, but I can do, you know, complicated classic French stuff, which is what I'm into, you know.
So have you watched all of Julia Child's YouTube
Yeah, I have her books, actually, yeah. I was always madly in love with that stuff. And I've always kind of cooked in that way. In the places I've worked in before, I've always, like, kind of, you know, worked in that style. So it's what I'm most comfortable with, you know. Like, if somebody said to me, you know, go and do El Bulli type stuff, I wouldn't even know where to start. I'd be lost, you know. So I just stick to...
Smoke wafting everywhere.
Yeah, I'm just not into that.
I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the cuisines and Nordic cuisine later and a few others that became quite fashionable. Gareth, what is your first choice of music you've picked for this evening?
I was talking to a friend of mine this morning, we'll call him Declan, and he asked me to play Madonna. So he says, no, I'm going to go with a bit of Bruce Springsteen first. Bruce's version of Jersey Girl.
Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com
on Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
You're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland, coming to you this evening from Campania Restaurant from the lovely medieval city of Kilkenny. And my special guest this evening is Michelin star chef Gareth Byrne. Gareth, we were chatting there before the break and before that lovely piece of music from Bruce Springsteen about the excitement of opening your doors. I suppose a lot of chefs would only dream about reaching the heady heights of Michelin stardom, which, of course, you did in 2013. How did you feel when you heard the news, and how did you find out?
We found out the same time as everybody else. Press release at 7 o'clock in the morning. The phone never stopped. It was like the craziest day of my professional life, we'll call it. Yeah, it was something we never... envisage getting one. It was never... I know I had the background of it in chapter one and stuff, but we never set out to go, oh, okay, we're going to get a Michelin star, or we want one, or whatever. So it was just providing, trying to cook a decent bit of grub at, you know, a reasonable price and try and keep the business alive. It wasn't, you know, the recession was in, like, and we just didn't want that in fancy, you know, too fancy. We had to be, you know, we want people to come here a couple of times a month, as I said, and, you know, so... The recession kind of helped us in a way, and at the same time, it was hard. You know, we were offering good value, but, you know, we obviously struggled in the first year or two, like everybody else did. And at that time, you know, we'd signed the building when, you know, times were good, 2007, and everybody partied, as I said. And then, like, suddenly 2008 comes, and, you know, the you know, things changed, you know. So, but we made it through. So, you know, when we got the star, it was like kind of an icing on the cake without actually wanting to have that cake, if you know what I mean. It was just, you know, it was a mad 3 or 4 days, like, you know, and I'd been through it before in chapter one and seen the effect that it has. So, you know, we were kind of ready for it and prepared for it in a way that we didn't, without even realising it, you know, that kind of a way.
And having seen that, I suppose, and worked in Michelin star restaurants, it's like, I suppose, Kilkenny winning the hurling. You have to keep winning it every year, don't you?
Yeah, the only thing is we didn't win the All-Ireland that year. It was bad form. It was really bad. 2013 wasn't good.
Is it kind of a something that becomes a monster in a way, or is it something that really just, you know, is really good to have?
It can be a bit of a monster. Speaking professionally, it's brilliant. It's the highlight of your career. You know, as a chef, it's like winning an Oscar or whatever. So you have to, you know, enjoy it and not be you know, I remember after we got it, we'd be like, oh, what are we going to do now? But it wasn't really about that. They gave it to us for what we were doing, not what we could be or what we were going to be in a year's time. So we stuck basically with what we had, you know. We didn't change anything. Our prices stayed the same. We didn't go mad and start, you know, changing things for just for the sake of it. So we just kept on doing what we were doing. So we were probably, we were experienced enough to know not to change things and, you know, just roll with it and see what happens, you know. So it was a great day. I mean, we had a great great weekend, drank some great wine. And, yeah, it was really good, yeah. The other side of the sword is that people think you're, you know, you're going to be really expensive and, you know, there'll be no atmosphere in the place and whatever. Like, but we were lucky that, you know, the way the room is laid out, there's always a good buzz here. When there's a good crowd in, the buzz is brilliant. And I'm in the kitchen, but I can hear it. You can feel the atmosphere and you can feel that, you know, everybody's enjoying themselves and it's not a, you know, we never wanted a place where it was hushed and quiet and whatever. I love atmosphere in restaurants. I think it's brilliant. When everybody's sitting down and having a glass of wine, something to eat, it's just a great feeling, you know. Nothing to do with Michelin or any of that, it's just the way I like restaurants, you know.
Yeah, indeed. And I mean, you know, how we're clamouring to get back to that again. I can't wait to hear the clinking of glasses. Jeez,
I know, yeah. It's desperate.
And I must say as well, you have beautiful artwork here. Mm. Just for anybody, you know, we're on the radio now, so obviously visually, but it's stunning. I've heard other chefs as well saying they love to create this whole beautiful setting. It's not literally just, it starts literally when you walk in the door.
Yeah, we had, the first day we met the lady, Catherine, who did our big painting. We gave her the idea of something that we wanted comforting but familiar, comforting but, you know, brightly coloured. And about a week later, she came back with these cards of what the full painting was going to look like. And I remember looking at it and thinking, Mother God, like, what is that? But we decided we'd roll with it anyway. And it turned out absolutely brilliantly. It's really bright, it's colourful. I still have no idea to this day what it's about, but I think she did a really great job on it, and you know, we were lucky. And we've got some other local artists as well. We try and change the paintings every couple of years. We have stuff that we just, you know,
wonderful.
Yeah.
In terms of, we were chatting earlier about different cuisines, and you know, the French. For you, are you tied to the French classic cuisine now, or I mean, for example, I hear some chefs talking about Nordic cuisine as being like, you know, rabbit food.
Yeah, a bit like rabbit food, yeah.
I don't know what your take on it is.
You know, all these foods, they're basically fashions, and they come and go, and you know. As I said, like the great cuisines like the French, the Italian, Chinese, Thai, etc., will always be there. We were over in Stockholm two years ago. We had a brilliant time. You know, the perception of going over before we went, with like lots of weeds and things, you know. But we didn't find that at all.
Weeds.
Yeah.
Not know, weeds.
Foraging and things like that, you know. So we decided that we went over with an open mind, but obviously you have preconceptions that you think it's going. But it actually turned out to be, you know, there is obviously, they have their own cuisine. The further up north you go, the, you know, the sparser the land gets and things like that. So there is that effect, and that, you know, they use different ingredients than we do. But, the, you know, we had a great time there overall, you know, so I would definitely go back to it. Great city.
And do you find, I mean, obviously, we've been restricted with travel. I suppose you get inspired, don't you, when you travel and you go to new, like you might be in a little town in France and you might have something, you may go, oh my God, geez, I'd love to serve that back in my place. Or.
Yeah, you do get a little, you know, you get inspired by somewhere, you know, just, it can be something very simple, like a sauce or a different type of way of doing something or whatever. Like, so I always like keeping mind open of what they're up to over there, you know. And then sometimes you can, you know, put your own twist on it when we come back here, you know, that suits us, you know. So.
And I suppose in a way, this is a great neighbourhood restaurant, isn't it? I mean, you like, which is lovely about this. I think it reminds me of a place where you have got your own clientele. And yet, I mean, you have, as you said, only an hour and a half from Dublin. So you have this, obviously you have this wonderful Michelin star, you know, which is brilliant. So, I mean, people travel. I know people will come here for lunch, for example.
Yeah, I remember the week after we got it, a man arrived in for Saturday lunch on his own, and he'd had the guidebook in his hand, and we were, you know, he goes, oh, I was just in the airport, picked the book up, and he was heading here. He was then he was going on to Galway to eat somewhere there that has started. It was an ear or somewhere, and so like it does bring in, you know, an international clientele, and it also helps us with, you know, people coming down from Dublin for the weekend. They'll have one night here, they'll have one night in Mount Juliet or whatever it is. So it's in that way, of course, it's very good. You know, it's very helpful. Yeah,
that's true, actually, because the Mount Juliet, the Lady Helen, another restaurant there where you can have, and great afternoon tea as well, which is wonderful. So you can have a really lovely weekend. And you can, I mean, I suppose it's been a great accolade, and it's been great for Kilkenny as well to have the Michelin star, because it's always so, it really draws people in.
It does, And, you know, it helps everybody. You know, it helps the hotels, people booking, you know, helps the local pubs, people go shopping. It's all positive, you know. There isn't drawback to it, you know. So like, it is, you know.
It's like a rising tide lifts all boats.
It lifts all boats, absolutely. Yeah, it does.
What age were you yourself when you actually opened the doors here?
We opened in August 2008, so I would have been. Put me on the spot now. I love 38?
No, the reason I ask you that, and I don't mean to ask you, it'd be rude to ask your age.
No.
I think a lot of, these days, a lot of chefs, I mean, they start, you know, you see them on MasterChef and they kick off and they're in their early 20s.
Yep.
And the next thing at 25, they have a restaurant open. Yep. And at 27, the restaurant is closed. Yep. Because I think you really do have to build up experience, don't you, to really do this properly.
There's, you know, once every decade, Marco Pierre White or a Gordon Ramsay or whoever comes along and they're supremely talented, supremely good at what they do. They're 24, 25 years old, and they'll go on to get 2 or 3 Michelin stars and they'll be phenomenally successful. But that's once in a blue moon. So, like, you know, I don't worry about people opening restaurants, but I do sometimes look at it if they're, you know, in their mid-20s. I think, really, have you got the depth of experience? Because, like, it's not just about food. Like, it's...
You're running a business.
To the public, it's all about the food and the service and the wine list and whatever. But to run a restaurant is, you know, there's so much more going on in the background that people don't, you know, realise or, you know, and worry about. We have to worry about that kind of thing. So you look after the finances, you got to look after, you know, the basic boring things like making sure the restaurant is clean, the kitchen is spotless, that, you know, all these things have been done in the background that, you know, guests should never have to worry about, you know. And these are the things that, you know, ultimately are helpful in running a successful restaurant. You know, it's not just about the food. Like, you know, there's so much going on in the background that, and I sometimes look at young guys or girls and I just think, if you just left it another 4 or 5 years, you'd be so much better equipped to, you know, to run the business end of it, because it's 80% of your time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
80% of your thought, I wouldn't say your time, but your thoughts are there, 80% of it. So it is, I always think it's important to get a very good grounding.
Yeah, a bit, and like then, a nice Bordeaux, another few years, but just do the job. Yeah,
no point rushing a good Bordeaux, you know.
Wonderful.
Leaving 15 years rather than opening it at 7. So, like, you know, you're right, actually. Yeah, it is important. And, you know, as much as I want the guys and girls here to be successful when they leave and open their own restaurants, I'd always say to them, like, don't rush into it, you know, because it's not for everybody. You know, it takes up all of your time. I know we've had plenty of time in the last 6 months to do nothing and whatever, take it easy, but in general, you know, it takes up a lot of your time. So, you know.
Indeed. So, Gareth, what have you chosen for your second choice of music this evening for us?
I'm going for Jennifer Warren's Famous Blue Raincoat with Leonard Cohen.
Taste of Ireland with Ireland's Blue Book, a romantic collection of Irish country house hotels, manor houses, castles and restaurants. Ireland'sBlueBook.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8. 106.8.
You're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland, coming to you this evening from Campania Restaurant from the medieval city of Kilkenny with my special guest, Gareth Byrne. Gareth, we've been through the mill, I guess, and I was saying earlier there that I think the New York Times described it as languishing recently in a very good article, Inertia and the Paralysis of COVID-19. How has it affected you? And I suppose, what have you learned from this?
Well, we're well rested now coming back. We can't. There's no excuses now for not being able to get back into it. There's light at the end of the tunnel now, and we just can't wait to get back into it. And this is kind of the first week we've been back to getting the place repainted, doing a few electrics next week, and things like that. So, haven't started cooking yet, even though I did come in a couple of weeks ago just to do a few things. But the buzz wasn't there and things. So like, it was like I was here on my own in the kitchen doing a few bits, but it wasn't the same.
I think a lot of people I've been chatting to who are kind of foodies, I suppose. I know you love that word, foodie, right? They've said to me they don't care what they're going to spend on wine when they go into a good restaurant again. Well stocked up?
We're well stocked up, but I think people can't wait to just get out again. You know, it's just, and even myself and Bridget are the same. I don't like cooking at home. I can't stand it, and I really feel for people. That my heart goes out to people that have to do it breakfast, lunch and dinner 7 days a week, a couple of kids. It's like, we don't have kids, like we don't have that that burden of responsibility, but honestly my heart goes out, and I realise at this time that cooking at home every day is just, to me, it's no fun. Bridge does most of the cooking, and I'm just like, I do two dinners a week and she does the rest, and I don't know. Some people enjoy it. Personally, I can't stand it, and I just can't wait to ring a restaurant, make a reservation for whatever time, and just go glass of wine, something to eat, just to get out. I think that's what people are looking forward to, Some people want to get their hair done, but I really want to get out and sit in a restaurant,
You've had the hair done today?
I'm grand. The hair is minimal now where I have it.
You were invited to be part of the prestigious Blue Book, and of course one of the wonderful institutions we have here in Ireland. What did that mean to you, and how does it, I suppose, on a day-to-day basis, what does it actually mean as well?
We were asked a number of years ago now, would we do it? And we never actually thought about it. And then the opportunity came up and we looked at it. And, the great thing about it is that it covers all of Ireland. It's not just about Michelin-starred restaurants or whatever. There's everything in it. And all the places in it are just like quality operations. Whether they're, a hotel in the middle of Dublin or a restaurant or whatever, you can go to anywhere in the country. Every offering, I think, is very different in the book, so there's loads of choice in it, and they don't just cover everybody. They're quite, I wouldn't say picky, but they want...
Oh, yeah, I think you can say picky.
Can I? Okay, we'll go with picky.
Michelle would love the word
picky. They're quite picky about, who they have in it.
Absolutely, yeah.
They want to be... They've got their reputation to uphold as, with selling the vouchers and as a, company, so... They do ask people that are of similar ilk, shall we say, that, will work with them to do it. So I think, they have a really good brand, really good properties in it, and, it works for both sides, So really
I think a Blue Book voucher for Christmas or for a birthday is up there with the kind of one of the best...
Yeah, and you can use it anywhere.
...presents you can get.
Whenever you want.
Yeah.
It's like you can go to... long weekend down in Clare, down to wherever, to say Gregan's Castle or somewhere, then you can come up here, you can have a bit of dinner. I just think it's a great, I've got presents of it myself over the years, and it's brilliant, because sometimes you get and you look, all right, where we go, you got your voucher, you look at the website and it's there, you just pick wherever you want to go, and there's loads of different properties, which is brilliant, so it covers the whole...
Yeah, and of course Kilkenny as well, you have a good few properties around here, which are part of the Blue Book as well, which is great for people.
And that helps, because... they go here one night, there one night, and it's all positive.
And in terms of, I suppose, the future, Gareth, do you have any plans yourself? I mean, obviously now delighted to be getting back into the swing of things again. Have you any ideas or plans for another restaurant, maybe?
Opportunities come up every now and then. I haven't found the right one yet, But if it does, it's something that we definitely look at.
And what would you go? Would you go for the same thing? And
no.
Is there anything you've thinking yourself? I'd love one of those.
I'd love to do a good chipper.
Yeah,
I'd love to do a really good chipper. Yeah, I'd love to do one. It might arise, it might not. If it does, great, we'll go for it. If it doesn't, it's not. You know, it's not a burning ambition that we want to have a second place or anything like that. You know, if it suits us, and it'd be like. I definitely wouldn't do another campagna, but, you know, we do something else, really good chipper or something like that, you know, I'd love to do it.
I noticed, we were chatting earlier there, but I noticed on your menu, I thought it was quite humorous, you said not really very vegan friendly or lactose intolerant, you can't really cater for those. Is it kind of a bit of a nightmare for people? In a way that I suppose we had a kind of an explosion of allergies at one stage, and I mean, there was a lot of chefs on the radio going, I can't cope with this anymore.
For a while there, it made it very difficult. Every single order coming into the kitchen would be there'd be some form of allergy on it. Now, the people that are genuine, they always ring up. They would always ring the day before. So you know, I'm allergic to walnuts or whatever the allergy may be. You know, and 99% of the time, it's no problem. But it got to a phase a couple of years ago where, like, every single order coming in had some form of allergy on it, and it became a little bit ridiculous. And because, like, we're French, like, we use a lot of dairy. That's, you know, I use very little cream, but I do use a lot of butter and a lot of milk, and it kind of, you know, I'm not going to change that, like, by now, you know. I'm not going to start using them. Oat milk and...
They're very keto-friendly.
Yeah, I just, you know, I do like my dairy. And, you know, Ireland is brilliant for dairy. It's got the best dairy in the world. So, you know, when someone says to me, oh, I'm allergic to butter, it's like, well, you know, you might as well be allergic to fresh air, you know. Yeah. It's like, I love my butter. So, we just don't do the vegan things no more than we do Thai or Chinese. If somebody asked me for a Chinese meal, I'd have to decline, you know. I don't... It's not my thing, you know.
Yeah, of course. Mm. And in terms of yourself traveling around the world, I suppose, have you a memory of one dining experience or one place you went that really sort of stood out for you?
Our favourite restaurant is L'Ambroisie in Paris. It's probably the ultimate in French fine dining, classical French fine dining. They use brilliant ingredients, beautifully cooked. It's not the world's cheapest restaurant, I'd be the first to admit. But we love to try and get there once a year, and I just can't wait to go back. It's been a year and a half since we've been anywhere now. It's like, God, need to get out. But that'd be our favourite restaurant in the world.
And in terms of, as a chef yourself, I mean, you'd have your ingredients you were talking about earlier that you love. Mm-hmm. Is there other ones that you just think, oh, God, you don't like those at all? Or?
Yeah, there's a few things I don't cook. Yellow peppers, kiwi, truffle oil, and... that's kind of about it. You'll never see them on the menu.
And never. I mean, I suppose they're not very... They'd be more stir-fried than French cuisine, would they?
I just can't stand the taste of yellow pepper. Now, if somebody put it down in front of me, I'd eat it. Mm. But it's not something I'd cook. Wouldn't even dream of it, you know? Yellow peppers are like... Ugh.
And in terms of... A little bird told me that you loved tweezers.
Love
in
tweezers.
The kitchen.
Yeah, that's why God gave his fingers.
People may not, I mean, I suppose, if you watch MasterChef, you'll see
if you watch
them
MasterChef,
putting little nasturtiums on the top of things. But, I mean, they don't seem, they seem to like tweezers. That's one thing you, are they barred out of your kitchen?
They're barred, yeah. And I do get, you know, I got some chefs here and they bring their tweezers in with them and I just borrow them for a year, for how long they're here. And I say, I'll give it back to you when you're gone. You won't need it while you're here. I love the, food is a very natural, it's a natural product. I just, when I'm start, we're not surgeons, you know, we're chefs. And I just, if I was in hospital and I was having an operation done and the doctor needed to use the tweezers, I wouldn't be arguing with him, you know, don't put that near me, but not for food, no, it's not needed.
And for young chefs starting out, I would love, I guess, to get a few tips from you, Gareth, as to what little recommendations or what would you say to them?
Work in good places. Travel as much as you possibly can. Stick with it. It's hard at times. The hours are long. They're unsociable. But I think when you start out, you want to have that ambition or that want or desire to have own your own restaurant. I think if you start with that and go from there, you won't go far wrong, you know. And get plenty of experience. Don't do it when you're 21, you know. That'd be my things.
Yeah. Wonderful. And the other question I really wanted to ask you as well, I suppose, the future now, the return of Campania again. Mm-hmm. Have you got some fantastic menus ready to hit the tables?
The menus are almost ready. We need to get a date.
Yeah.
Once we have a date, then we know what season we're in. There's a bit of a difference between July and August, so hopefully it'll be July. Fingers crossed. We've got some good dishes coming on. If we get open in July, we'll have lobster, we'll have crab, we'll have turbot, we'll have spring lamb. We're going to have some really nice gear, nice summer gear. So we're reopening at a nice time, which is, you know, middle of the summer. So fingers crossed, tomatoes will still be in season by the time we get back open.
Wonderful. Gareth, it's been a pleasure talking to you this evening. Thanks. Can you tell us, what have you chosen for your final piece of music?
I'm going with Fleet Foxes and White Winter Hymnal.
Terrific. Well, Gareth Byrne, thank you so much for giving me your time this evening.
Thanks.
And I am looking forward. Can I book in before I go? I want to take, well, is there any dates available?
Yeah, we'll take it from the 5th of July.
Can I just ask as well, for anybody who wants to get details and to look at your menus and stuff, what is the website?
www.campania.ie. Great. Menus, reservation system, everything is there.
Great. So, Gareth Byrne, it's been a pleasure talking to you this evening. Thank you.
Cheers.
I was following the eye.